KQED.
From KQED Public Radio, I'm Andrea Kissick with Quest, our weekly series on Northern California's science and environment. When you laugh, cry, or get angry, what's happening inside your brain? It sounds like a simple question, but scientists know very little about how humans process emotions. What's the best way to find out? By taking a look inside the brain of someone whose emotional reactions are, in a sense, broken. Amy Standen reports.
Not long ago, Matt Cheney and his family visited the gravesite of Matt's father-in-law, who had recently died. Now, Matt adored his father-in-law, which is why his emotions, standing there by the grave, took him by surprise.
Out of nowhere, I wanted to laugh. There was no reason on earth to be laughing in that situation.
Matt Cheney lives in Lafayette. He's 48, a full-time dad, former Little League coach, and he has ALS, or Lou Gehrig's disease. It's a degenerative condition of the nervous system that's affected the way Matt talks, and it has a strange side effect. Matt's condition, called pseudo-bulbar effect, turns up in about 1 in 3 ALS patients. They start laughing or crying, and they just can't stop. Matt laughs or cries even at things that don't really strike him as funny or sad. It's as if something is broken in the way his brain processes emotions. And that's what makes him so interesting to scientists like Howie Rosen, a neurologist at the University of California, San Francisco.
Okay, so in a few minutes, we're going to start the first experiment run.
Here in the basement of UCSF's hospital, Rosen stands at the controls of a giant multi-million dollar fMRI machine. In recent years, these high-tech scanners have let scientists look inside the human brain to watch emotions as they play out in real time.
And can you read them well?
Strapped inside the scanner's long cylindrical tube, Matt Cheney listens to Rosen's instructions over the intercom.
Don't forget to use the buttons to tell us how you're feeling. And if you have an event of laughing or crying, go ahead and press the third button. Okay?
Okay.
Any questions?
No.
Every 2 seconds, the fMRI will take a snapshot of what's happening inside Matt's brain. Rosen starts with a video clip of Matt's wife, Liz, talking about life with ALS.
Your level of frustration and your level of anger at this disease.
Matt frowns, but he doesn't cry, so Howie brings out the big guns. A while back, Matt told Rosen that the sound of music triggered a full-blown crying jack that lasted the entire length of the film. But today, no dice.
We're getting real emotion. We're just not getting uncontrolled emotions.
What does work, ultimately, is one of the least emotional clips that Rosen has.
Wiltshire, England. I think his father was stationed in Swindon, as I recall.
It's Liz again, listing the places Matt lived growing up. We can see him grinning over the monitor.
How are you, Matt? Doing okay?
As Matt cracks up, the fMRI snaps magnetic images of his brain. Howie Rosen and the other researchers are thrilled. A few days after the experiment, I visit Rosen in his office, and he scrolls through the scans on his computer monitor.
So that's the front. See the eyeballs right there? And then as we go back, this is the frontal lobes.
Rosen moves his cursor down to a cone-shaped structure at the base of Matt's head. It's the brainstem, one of the oldest parts of the human brain, concerned with basic physical acts like breathing and walking.
One way to think about emotion is that the basic reactions are organized there. So the act of crying, the act of laughing, that all of that really is coming from the brainstem.
Rosen has a theory. He thinks that every time we feel an emotion, there are actually three parts of the brain at work. First, the part that identifies something as sad. Then another part, probably in the brainstem, that physically makes us cry. And then finally, some kind of emotional traffic cop that simply says stop.
So we think in Matt, the part that acts sad is probably working normally. The part that says be sad is probably working normally, too. And the problem is in the part of the brain that says, okay, that's enough sadness.
So where is that part? That's one thing Rosen's looking for in the brain scans. He thinks that if scientists can identify that broken emotional traffic cop, it might have implications for other disorders too, like
PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder.
PTSD patients have huge overblown fear reactions long after that emotion is really necessary. So maybe their emotional traffic cop, like Matt's, just stopped working.
On the surface, PTSD and this phenomenon that Matt has are very similar. One's in the fear system. This is in the laughing and crying system.
And what about depression or obsessive compulsive disorder? Maybe Matt's laughing fits contain clues about those and other problems, too. For Quest, I'm Amy Standen, KQED Radio News.
See videos and fMRI images of pseudo-bulbar episodes at kqed.org/quest.
Major funding for Quest is provided by the National Science Foundation, the Gordon and Betty Moore Foundation, and the Amgen Foundation.